Heaven is what we're all about, to be with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord God, I pray for those here tonight. Lord, I bind up fatigue. I thank you, Lord God, that where we are weak, you are strong. We thank you that the Lord going forth, the Word and the Lord going forth in power and demonstration will not return void, Lord God. Lord, I believe it'll cleanse us. I believe it'll strengthen us. And Father, I believe it gives hope for the future to come. Amen. This word going forth tonight. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go to Revelations chapter 20. We finally got here. Amen. Revelations chapter 20. And while you're going there, I want to read something to you. We're in Ephesians. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to, you can. I'm going to read down on verse 9. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Say, what is God's will? Well, it's been made known to you. According to his good pleasure, where he hath purposed in himself. So you have purpose. According to his pleasure, he purposed you to give you direction, to give you insight, to know the mystery of his will. All you have to do is pray it out, and he'll let you know by the power of the Holy Spirit what he wants you to do in this life and the life to come. Amen? Because what you do here is going to be very significant as what you're going to do in a 1,000-year reign. I mean, I thought about this, and quite frankly, I could be preaching right here in the church in a 1,000-year reign. That's very possible. You think of that. We could be right here doing the work of the ministry. And guess what else? We'll get into the word, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but so what? There are going to be people during the millennium that are not saved. Did you know that? Ta-da. They are not saved. So we're going to have still work to do. And it says in here, we'll read about it, that the Jews are going to be the missionaries. It said the Jews are going to be the missionaries. I said the Jews are going to go and minister to everyone. Mm-hmm. They're going to go to the nations, the ethnos, and preach to them and get them saved. Get them born again. So even though we're going to go up on the mountain to see Jesus and our Father, there's still going to be those that in their heart, they don't know him. That's not imaginable, but that's what it's going to be like. We have to get them saved. Because even when we go, went through the tribulation, there's still going to be areas in the world and areas even over there that the people were not saved. So God wants all people saved. Now, I said this before, but his grace and mercy just extends to the heaven. Even through the millennium, there's going to be people saved. And the millennium, when we do 1,000 years with Christ, and then because he already bound Satan, we're going to get to that, and then he loosed Satan to deceive the nations. Now think about that. You spend 1,000 years with the Lord, and Satan's loose and still can talk them out of their salvation. 1,000 years with Jesus learning, and they're talked out of their salvation because Satan is loosed to deceive the nations. Okay, now, you could say that's Armageddon, but it's a different type of Armageddon, so don't get that confused. He's going to bring all the nations together too, but they are going to attack Jerusalem, and we'll talk about that tonight. And they are going to be consumed with fire. It's not going to be much of a war. Father's going to be a little upset, and go, whoosh, they're gone.
Right.
And so then there'll be peace, love, in the kingdom of heaven. That come down on earth, which becomes the kingdom of our Lord, our God. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That we'll be living in a time where we will not be held back by our bodies. You'll be doing work for him on this earth, whatever it is, governors, whatever it is. You are going to be priests and kings and governors. And we're going to do those jobs. We're not going to tire. And so we're going to tell them about Jesus. Now, is there going to be rules and laws? Yes. There's going to be laws for the Gentile that he's going to have to shape up and believe in our Lord, because this is a theocracy. It's not a democracy. Democracy's done. This is theocracy. So then we have rules for even the ones that are walking in the Spirit. Because you could leave your estate if you don't watch. You don't want to do that. Your estate being what you're called to do. But let me read something to you. Satan bound. This is a lot of reading, but you know what? I'll try to make it as interesting as I can, because there's so much in here that you can't just cover it all in a half hour. You just can't do it.
Right.
So, but we're going to scan through it and just hit the highlights. And if you'd like to, you can go back and read Revelation 20 and study it out. Revelation 20, verse 1 says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years' reign should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." When I read this, I was kind of, I don't know why I get carried away with these things, but I do. I visited the angel. I mean, this had to be a strong angel. This chain was no small chain. And listen, angels are not Caspers, friendly ghosts. They're not bodiless. The angels have bodies. I remember when Jesus come back in Acts, and he talked to them, and he ate with them in his redemptive body. So you can eat. You have a body. You can speak. They can touch you. And so we're not just flying in air. We're not these aspirations. We are actually, the angels are actually like men, okay? But this angel here was created to do the bidding of the Lord and was sent to bind Satan up. One angel. One chain wraps the enemy up and throws him into the bottom pit. And he takes the key, okay? And locks him up. Then I thought about the key. The key, Jesus Christ defeated death, hell, curse over mankind, and took the keys to hell. He took the keys. So he won all that. That's all ours. You don't have to pray for that. All you have to do is believe that it's yours. Amen. And that death does not reign over you. He has victory over death. But those same keys, I believe, he gave to this angel to come down and open that bottomless pit, throw Satan in here, and bind him for 1,000 years. I can't figure out how one little devil can do all that nonsense, causing all that trouble, but he does. Amen. By the way, in Ezekiel, and I believe it's 28, gives a description of Satan, who was Lucifer, who was created beautiful. He had all the beauty. And it talked about diadems that were attached to him. So he was beautiful. But, of course, you know the story. Pride comes in, and he wants to set his throne above God. Mistake. And he gets thrown out of heaven. And takes one-third of the angels. Now, he already had that influence. One-third of the angels were thrown out with him. So, obviously, he was a talker, a smooth operator, to convince one-third of the angels to be thrown, to throw the throne of God, to usurp it. So, obviously, he can deceive the nations as well after 1,000 years and talk to them and bring them together for a revolt. So, even then, there's people that don't serve God, and they obviously, in their heart, don't love God. Actual conflict. Satan will be bound, loosed for a period of time after 1,000 years and cause actual conflict. There's different companies, and I'm going to move on here verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. John says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, because on the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When I read that, I thought, and I'm not sure I even got my facts straight, Dennis, you can help me out if you can, about the ones that were beheaded in Iran or Iraq they actually lined them up. Do you remember that? And he beheaded them, and I'm lost for facts. But then I thought of them because they're under the altar right now, of the throne, crying out for vengeance. And God says, yes, in a little time, I will take vengeance on you. And then I thought whether it's just the same as Cain, what he did to his brother Abel. And his blood's crying out for justice, crying out, because Cain actually took his life. And, of course, Cain got cursed, but he even told God the curse is not enough. And the Lord had says, well, whoever kills you will be cursed. So you'll live your curse. But the thing about the blood of Jesus, don't take it lightly. It's very strong, and it speaks today. The blood that was shed at Calvary speaks today. And when you speak the blood of Jesus over you, you cleanse yourself. It's power. It's power unto salvation. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in his hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But for the rest of the dead, and I don't know what the implications are there for the rest of the dead, for those that could mean those that didn't serve him and died during the 7-year tribulation. But I don't know how that's implied there. But for the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed is holy, hath part in the first resurrection. From the second death hath no power, and they shall be priests in God Christ, and shall reign. The millennium is 1,000 years reign with Christ. The doctrine of the millennium is strongly substantiated in scriptures, mentioned 6 times in the first 7 verses of the chapter. It is referred to in Ephesians 1:10, when Ephesians 1:10 talks about the dispensation of the fullness. I'm scatting down. So I wanted to point out, when a dispensation of the fullness of times come, that's the day of the Lord when everybody comes together. And talked about this before, is epi-synagogue, where we come together. We are one here that comes together as tonight. And this is the way it's going to be when billions and billions of people are going to come together. Amen? They're going to come together for the fullness, dispensation and fullness of time. I made a notation in here. I wanted to read 1 Corinthians 15:24. Could we go there just a minute? 1 Corinthians 15:24, and then we'll go back. If you get a chance, sit down and read 1 Corinthians 15. It's a very, very beautiful chapter. Let's back up to 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he hath all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. It is manifest that he is accepted. which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Even Christ the Son will be subjected to him, all in all. It gives you a glimpse of the government that we are going to have. The Father is going to rule. He's going to be the ruler. He's going to be the one who makes all the decisions. There's going to be no body, democratic body. We're going to be in a theocracy. He will make all the decisions. Now, I did read in one insert that even the insurrection is going to take place during a 1,000-year reign. But they are going to be dealt with immediately. It's going to be wiped out. An insurrection in the fact that they won't go up on the mountain to worship him, and they just abstain from him altogether and do sin. And they're just not going to be able to live, and they are wiped out. So during the 1,000-year reign, there are things that we have to understand that that's God's way of life. We'll walk into the fullness of him, and we will be obedient to the fullness of him, because obedience will be our garment of praise, our anointing. It is time when things will be a restoration or restitution of all things. It is called the consolation of Israel and the redemption of Jerusalem. The events of Revelation 4:19 have been fulfilled, and now Satan must be bound before the millennium begins. After Satan is bound, John sees thrones and the occupants of the thrones, which are the tribulation martyrs, and they will be reigning with the other redeemed heavenly people as kings and priests in Christ. Tribulation martyrs have a part in the first resurrection, which comes before the 1,000-year millennium. And I saw everything is going to be restored. Everything on earth is dying. If you look around you, you'll see death, dying trees, dying plants. We're dying every day. There's a certain, and we live through Christ, but these bodies are deteriorating. But during the 1,000-year reign, things won't die. You will live like Adam lived. You will live like Enoch lived. I mean, we're talking 700, 800, 900 years, 1,000 years, and we will live. We will not die. Even the people that are human at that time are going to live longer because diseases are not going to ravage them. So during the millennium, things are going to live. Trees are going to live and bloom. And because sin is destroyed, and that sin which is not destroyed will be dealt with. So you see how beautiful the 1,000-year reign is going to be. One other thing, too, there's going to be the tree of life. And the tree of life is what you're going to partake of to live. You're going to eat its leaves. And this is going to give you health, healing, and longevity. So the tree of life will be there. We'll talk about that if I get to that tonight. Amen. We'll go to, get ahead of myself a little bit. Companies of the redeemed from Adam to the binding of Satan will be there during the 1,000-year reign. The kingdom of God is a literal kingdom. It's the ninth kingdom of heaven come down. And it's a theocratic government. It's the ninth kingdom. And you can find that in Daniel. And if you want me to name them, the kingdoms were Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. Revised Rome, revived Greece, and the kingdom of heaven. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. Revised Rome, revived Greece, and the kingdom of God. Amen. This is interesting that this, the Testament saints will have responsibility and rewards and rulership according to their spiritual commitment and stewardship. They will be rewarded according to their deeds done in body. Saints of different ages will be rewarded on similar basis. So it's very important. Like, you're here tonight. That says a lot. You're here. And these things are going to be rewarded because you are seeking the kingdom of God. You're seeking the word of God. That's what this says. And there'll be rewards at the white throne judgment, but also there'll be judgment there as far as those that did evil. The center of the government will be in Jerusalem. Jerusalem will have been rebuilt and restored, having great and marvelous glory and serving as a world capital and a center of worship forever. The kingdom as it exists during the millennium will have laws and regulations. Even in heaven, as in a universe, there are specific laws. Man will have laws that guide and that he will be expected to keep in all eternity, as well as during the millennium. The kingdom will be an earthly one and will have earthly subjects. And some hearts will do, to an extent, rebel against the rule of Christ. However, the rebellion However, the rebellion will not be open until the devil is loosed at the end of the thousand-year reign. Those who have truly been born again and fully committed to the Lord and have fellowship with God during the thousand years certainly will not rebel with Satan at that time. But there will be sinners during the millennium. And these will be people who were saved when the millennium began and who were permitted to live through it. They will relate to outward laws of government. Now, those of you that want to read about the sinners during the millennium, you can go to Isaiah 2:2, Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah 11:3, Isaiah 16:5, and Isaiah 65:20. You can read that in Psalm 2, Micah 4:3, and Zechariah 14, and 1 Corinthians 15:24. We were there. The laws of operation. The laws of operation during the millennium will be of two kinds. First, there are outward laws which govern the natural man in the kingdom. These, of course, do not govern the desires of a free will or spiritual aspects of man, but they control and govern the natural man in the kingdom. Secondly, there are other laws governing the spiritual man, that is, the man who will desire spiritual things and live in the Spirit. These are inner things, the things of the heart, such as Jesus referred to in Matthew 5:7. These laws will be administered to by Christ and the glorified saints who have been made kings and priests, and justice will be meted out for those who do not follow the laws. Relative to natural laws, there will be people executed for failing to follow the rules when they know them and have been clearly warned and informed about them. During this period of time, nations, as we know them today, will continue to exist in many cases. Perhaps most of the Gentile nations, this is interesting, perhaps most of the Gentile nations will live in much of the same places as they do now. The lands promised to Abraham and his seed for an everlasting possession will be somewhat different than today. And there will be changes in the area around the Mediterranean Sea and those around areas concerning Israel and their promise to Abraham. There will be divisions in the promised land running in wide strips east and west with the different tribes occupying various areas. There will be a millennium temple for the Jews. The temple with its enclosures called the sanctuary will be 1 mile square. This will not be a temple. By the way, the 1 mile square is Ezekiel 45:1-4. This will not be the temple built in the last days before the second coming of Christ, the one in which the Antichrist will set during the last 3.5 years of the age of grace. That one will be destroyed when Christ comes a second time. The millennial temple will be built by Christ himself when he comes back to earth to set up his kingdom, Zechariah 6:12. It will be Christ's earthly throne forever. There will be priests in this temple as there were in the first temple. Descendants Levi will be involved in service, and the sons of Zadok, who were true to the house of David, will do some of the most holy work. And that too, that kind of really got to me, that he would even go back to the tribes that he assigned back in the Old Testament and put them to work in the thousand-year reign. That he's amazing. So we think that the Old Testament is not it's not relevant. It is relevant. Even the feast days are relevant. And all those things that he set up, he doesn't just discard. There is the New Testament saints. There is Christ that won victory for us. But those things of old are also going to become new in the kingdom of God. Amen? So the feast days are still going to be honored. Observance. Although there is a change in the approach to salvation and mediation with God, basic requirements exist. Christ is our Passover. Sacrifice once and forever, as contrasted to a regular offering and sacrifices. The priesthood will be for offerings, not for salvation, but for a memorial, an object lesson to show the people that has been accomplished through Christ. We have an example in the observance of our Lord's Supper today. We have a memorial regarding what Jesus did in his redemptive work at Calvary. In Ezekiel 43-46, nearly all the feasts that were observed by the Jews are mentioned. These offerings and feasts and new moons and Sabbaths and various ordinances and activities such as solemnities of the house of Israel will be observed during the millennium and in a new earth forever. Flowing out of the millennial temple is a literal river. It flows eastward and from the south side of the altar, and then turns to go southward through Jerusalem. During Jerusalem, with half of the river flowing westward into the Mediterranean Sea, and the other half flowing into the Dead Sea will be healed. The Dead Sea will be healed so that once again life will exist in it, and multitudes will be transformed. There may be well with those... I flipped the page on. But I thought that was interesting, the millennial temple. And you know what? The new temple will be built. It will be Jesus Christ will be the temple. Amen. He will be the sun. He will be the light. Amen. There will be no need for sun. How am I doing on time, Pastor Jack? I can't even see that. Thank you. Let me scat a little bit here, because I wanted to read to you guys a little bit tonight about the knowledge that's going to be there. Can you imagine? You'll be with Christ. You'll be going up to praise him and watch him. Can you imagine the knowledge and the wisdom and the anointing that's going to flow to you? That's awesome. From the creator of the universe will flow to us. And I just saw, my jaw dropped because coming from Stobo, there wasn't much down there, so kind of got excited about this. During this time, universal knowledge will also abound. Great insight and understanding will exist, and there will be real freedom for the expansion and the simulation of knowledge and understanding. There will also be missionaries during the millennium. The Jewish people will become great missionaries of the gospel and priests of the law during this age and forever. The promise was given to Abraham that his seed will be a blessing to all the nations, and they will carry out the missionary program such as we have today. There will be people during the millennium who have not made a personal commitment. Do you believe that? There will be people of the millennium who will not have made a personal commitment to Christ and have not had a true born-again experience. Dick, they had not had a true born-again experience. Who will come to know him? There will be those repenting and accepting Christ today. And salvation will be for all. But they will need to make that personal commitment. In addition to all these blessings, there will be appropriate and divine healing for all. I think that I can't wait to go there And even if it was a vision like John had, I can't wait to go there. But this is what our hope is. The 1,000-year reign. To be with our Lord and Savior. I mean, who else do we come here for? Amen? Changes will be evident in the animal kingdom. Their very natures will transform. They will not be fierce. They will not kill. And they will not be poisonous. Then I says, okay, nice statement. What do they eat? Grass? I don't know. The earth will be restored to a wonderful beauty of its original condition. During this administration, man will face the test of obedience. I won't say it, but I will tell you this. All things can come in and take away your love of Christ. All things of the world. Because I never seen, and I look around, even at work, I never seen such a busyness. Everybody you talk to, they have where normally the brain can carry 7 things, they're tolling around 14, 15, 16 different things. And they're multitasking to a 3X. And you can tell it because you can't get their attention. And I'm just saying it's a danger. It's a danger we all have to watch because we can get busy. And during my shift, I got real busy. And I could see why, because I couldn't get to really study like I wanted to. But that's Satan's trick. I said this before, and I'll say it again. Every time I come up here, I need to take time, block it out, take that time, and go read. Read the Word. Because the Word, and I said this, and I'll always say this, that it changes me. Once I read the Word, my attitude, my outlook, everything changes. And it's almost like, wow, I can tolerate things because I got the Word in me. And so we have to block that time because services, because God just showed me coming up here and preaching is such a privilege. Even you, when you read the Word of God and God reveals these things to you, it's such a blessing. It's life. It's life being poured on you and in you and coming out of you once you get filled with it. But if we get filled with the world, that's what's going to come out, is worldly views and just being impatient. And I just don't got time to talk to you, man. It's just the way it is. I'll catch you later. Bye. And cat and a fiddle. And I don't want that in my life. I know the peace of God. I know the transition once I pray here before a service. I know that transition. And it's like you just be lifted up once you pray in tongues. And you are lighter that you take Jesus' yoke on you. And why I keep saying that, because it's so different. And you can't really tell somebody that's in the world and weighted down with all worries and debt and whatever it is they're into. You can't have a business that pulls you away from God. I don't see that. If you trust God in that business, God's going to take that business and he's going to make a way for you. I don't have a big business, but I still got a small business. I still got apartments I got to do, and I still got people I have to deal with. And I still got to pray, Judy and I, to deal with that stuff. So we have to be patient and kind. And if I'm not in the Word, I'm not that patient and kind. No, but you guys. Why am I going off on this? Because we have to learn about works with God. And he's going to be looking at what we did here and how we did it and how much we were in his Word. And by the way, when you go to the 1,000-year reign, you're just not going to walk up there and go do what you're going to do. You're going to be trained. You're going to be taught. You're going to be taught the Word of God by the river of life and the trees of life and God's going to teach you, finish teaching you. And I don't know if this is the Holy Spirit or not, because my mind went right back to Satan when he was Lucifer, and he had all them diadems, and he never even achieved or finished, because according to this commentary, there was diadems or stones that he still had to acquire yet. But he lusted out in pride and lost what he could have been. When you're an archangel, that is a powerful being, and in heaven, you are powerful. Not only beauty, but with beauty comes responsibility. So if you're good looking, you still got responsibility to tell them about Jesus, because your good looks really open up that door. Because whether we like it or not, people are attracted to good looks and they listen. And you got to take those and minister to them. Amen? That's the test. So we're going to have a test of obedience during the 1,000-year reign. And the obedience is going to be to do what we're called to do, whether it's governing, being a priest, or whatever it is, you have to do that. You have to be obedient to God. And it's not skipping the Wednesday night or Sunday, because you got to go up to the mountain. Yeah. And worship the Lord. Anyways. Purpose. What is the purpose of the millennium? Well, no rebellion. It's going to be no rebellion there. There's going to be an everlasting covenant. There's going to be restoration of Israel. Saints will be exalted according to their work. All things will be one. There'll be nations judged in righteousness. So I think it's going to be wonderful. Let's go to Revelations 20, verse 7 again. Okay, don't fall asleep, we're almost there. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of the prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. I said this before, God himself will devour them. And I still wonder how we can see all the greatness and the love of God and still be deceived and talked into another way of life. And then Jerusalem has always been attacked. Egypt threatened them. Now this is Gog, Magog. Iran threatens them. They all threaten Jerusalem. And it's just a little tract of land. Amen. By the way, God's expanding Israel. The Golan Heights is awarded them. So there is increase in expansion there. So they're building. So God's starting to just... So for a peoples that the world wanted to wipe out, God is just keep advancing them and advancing them. And, you know, when judgment came on them, Israel became a desert. Did you know that? They looked at that land and they just shook their head. But God brought the Jews home and taught them how to irrigate and make that land bloom. And now that land is blooming. That land is rich. One note about the Dead Sea. There is a lot of minerals and a lot of healing coming out of the Dead Sea. They're going in there and they're finding things that heal. Now, I do understand, I don't know if it's a fact, I said you could throw this in the trash. I do understand that they possibly have a cure for cancer. Did anybody hear that? That Israel has a cure for cancer? And they're not letting it go because the in America, they'll take it and they'll prosper on it. And they don't want to do that. They want to get it out so they can see cancer wiped out. So and they found all that in the Dead Sea. So God's really revealing himself here. Amen? It is amazing. So until you see somebody that has cancer and is dying, you would appreciate if you even heard a rumor that there's a cure for cancer. But this is the millennium. And I think you needed to really understand what we're going to be doing in the millennium. You really had to understand that the kingdom of heaven is bordered 1,444 miles square. And it's coming down. And so we're going to go up. Remember that song, Tim? Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Remember that? And that's what we're going to do when the kingdom comes down. Church, continue seeking him like you're doing tonight. You're coming out here. This is a love fest that you're coming out here and actually seeking the word of God. And we enjoy having you. ACA is a supernatural church. There's word coming from this pulpit that's really pertinent and needed. And it's the truth for today. It can really strengthen us. So thank you for coming out tonight. Thank you for letting me share the 1,000-year reign with you. God bless you. And anybody needs prayer, I'll be up here. Praise God. Bless you.